You know ID in the D in the town all day. ID in the D in the SEA. You know ID in the D in the town all day. ID in the D in the SEA.
Hello and welcome to episode 274 of the Fabulous Pelton Cast, sponsored by our friends at Pagliacci Pizza. I'm your co-host, Kevin Pelton.
And I'm Tristan Carasino.
And we are coming to you from different states this week.
Whoa.
I'm in Las Vegas, Nevada, home of the NBA Summer League.
And I'm coming to you from Renton, Washington, home of the Super Bowl 48 champion Seattle Seahawks. And I'll tell you what, I am chilling right now. I've been out watching Meteors, listening to Eliza McClam demos. No Nick Rolovich can get me riled up this week. I guarantee it.
Wait, does that mean there's not going to be any hot takes?
Just
placid, calm takes?
That would require me to have paid attention to the Mariners over this last week, and I told you I'm chilling right now.
Well, but that is very fair.
There's been no Mariners in this universe at the moment.
Mariners free zone.
I only watch stars, so.
We have previously recorded our segment with Third Pelton brother, DJ Infrared. We did not ask him about the Mariners-Yankees series.
Oh, perhaps we should have. Maybe we should have done that.
Oh, we missed
an opportunity.
You might
have a hot take about something that happened at the T-Mobile Park earlier today.
Well, I didn't know. Are we going to get into this?
That's what we can later. I don't know.
Okay. All right, let's start with this week's beer. So I am drinking a Sierra Nevada Pale Ale.
Which
is seemingly the best I could do walking around the Vegas Strip this morning, nearby casinos, finally walked across the street to Walgreens, and I came up with an observation.
Okay.
The beer selection is dramatically worse than it was 2 years ago, and there is a single reason for that.
Seltzer.
You know what that reason is? Yeah, seltzers have taken over. No one drinks beer anymore. Everyone drinks seltzers. There was a nice beer list.
You're also in Las Vegas. Like, I'm just being honest with you. It's 110. What is the temperature there today? What was the high?
I don't know. It was 96, I saw, when we were driving back from dinner at like 10 p.m.
It was over 100 degrees in Vegas today. Do you think you wanted hops in your body?
Everyone's always said, oh, you know what? I mean, you understand that they drink beer in tropical locations, right?
I'm just telling you, there's... The way that the craft brew movement hit Vegas was a little strange.
Fair. But I'm just saying, as compared to 2 years ago, it was 3 years ago specifically that we potted. And I remember drinking a nice Ballast Point Grapefruit Sculpin, one of my favorite beers. Nowhere to be found this time.
Just a lot of
24-ounce domestic cans. That
actually sounds much more refreshing than a grapefruit IPA when it is 110 degrees out.
Agree to disagree.
God, they're just trying to save the people the hangover.
I guess that's something. We got a lot of toast this
week. On that note, I'm drinking a San Juan seltzer.
Of course you are. You're the problem here.
What flavor is that? By the way, you have a Las Vegas food update. I have a West Seattle food update.
Do you?
Yeah. Maybe I should wait until it happens.
Okay. Wow. But you're going to tell me about West Seattle food?
About your haunt. It's not a food update. I'll just get into it right now. Went to the Westie yesterday.
You went to the Westie?
West Seattle's best bar.
Oh, there you go.
West Seattle's best bar is the Westie. They have an outdoor
patio. Third Pelton brother Reese is in town?
Yeah, he was in town. We went to the Westie. This was the plan. They have Rainier beer on draft, $3.50. Like, there's literally nothing more that you could ask for.
There's some other things you could ask for, but that's an excellent start.
The Westie also is massive. You cannot tell
is
from
it?
The outside. Yes.
Wow.
It goes back very far. There's a second level, and every single booth has its own TV. So if you were watching a sporting event, it's basically... What's that fucking place that you like in Lower Queen Anne?
Are you referring to when sport existed?
No. The other place down the hill toward Sonic's old offices.
Oh, I mean, I don't like it that much, but...
I think it's an Buckers. Buckley's, yeah. This is like, it's significantly better than that. If you could pick whatever you want on the TV, if you're sitting there watching sports, it's pretty solid. They've got old school video games in the back.
Maybe we're going to bring the SSS BDA to West Seattle is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, here. Absolutely. You have to see if they have league pass, but I think there's a legit chance.
And maybe I can convince them to get league pass if they don't.
You'll be like, ESPN's Kevin Belton just moved into the neighborhood.
No, please, under no circumstance will I do that. Oh, dear.
Like, you know who I've been hanging out with all week? Nate Duncan and Danny LaRue. My life is League Pass Live.
Look, there's a lot of SSS BDA coming your way if you get League Pass, if there you know what I'm saying. As I've been trying to say, we got a lot of big toasts to get to because the Olympics have concluded, as it turns out.
Toast to that.
And you know who won some gold medals? Congrats to third Pelton brother Sue Bird.
There we go.
Along with Seattle Storm teammates Jewel Lloyd and Brianna Stewart, who was the MVP of the Olympic women's basketball tournament, and assistant coach Dan Hughes on leading the USA women's basketball team to a seventh consecutive gold medal streak dating back to 1996 in Atlanta. With no defeats in that span, it's number 5 for Sue Bird, who along with Diana Taurasi became the first basketball player ever to reach that total. The second gold medal for Brianna Stewart and the first for Jewel Lloyd.
I'll tell you what, a message to every other third Pelton brother who didn't win a gold medal this week.
Wow.
Yeah. What are you doing with your life?
Step your game up. I mean, the thing about Sue is, so she won 3 gold medals while I was working for the Storm, which is already an incredible amount of gold medals. I left the Storm 9 years ago. She's still winning gold medals now. It's so unbelievable. Also on the Olympic theme, congrats to Lorraine midfielder Quinn after they helped Canada win gold in women's soccer and became the first openly transgender non-binary athlete to medal at the Olympics. Canada beat Sweden on a penalty shootout in the gold medal game, while Megan Rapinoe and Rose Lavelle from Lorraine led U.S. women's national team to bronze with a 4-3 win over Australia as Rapinoe scored twice in the first half, both to give USA the lead. And the second time for good. So
there we go.
So congrats to them for meddling again.
This is one name for Quinn. Have we talked about this before?
We have not talked about
Brazilian
this.
Quinn is soccer not, style.
Quinn adopted that name as part of their announcing publicly that they're transgender and non-binary. So went with that is their new name, replacing their dead name. So there you go. Also, congrats to Renton native Nate Burleson on being named co-host of CBS's This Morning. He's following the Michael Strahan path. We'll continue to appear on NFL Today and NFL Network talking about football, but he's gonna be hosting a morning show.
Huge news for anybody who watches CBS This Morning.
No, huge news for the city of Renton.
It's huge news for the city of Renton. People who are in hotel lobbies.
Look, friend of the pod, he doesn't know it, but Shota Nakajima, I believe, was on this show earlier this week, if I was reading his social media correctly.
You know, as far as drawing attention in the flyover states, again, monster news. Somebody has to be watching it.
Nate Burleson, I mean, that's still a big deal. Nate Burleson becomes one of the most famous
Renton. Oh, no, it's a huge deal. Time. It's just hilarious because these things are just like, you may not know a single person who watches CBS This Morning, but somebody is.
It's true. Somebody has the television on.
Yes.
Congrats to first-year Seattle Storm head coach Noel Quinn on signing a multi-year contract extension, kind of formalizing the new role. She didn't have the interim tag beforehand, but a new contract commensurate with her new role that she took over earlier this season when Dan Hughes announced his retirement. And lastly, we want to wish a happy early 25th birthday to the listener, Elliot Allen.
Hello.
Who will celebrate this Saturday. So very exciting milestone birthday. Hope it's a great one, Elliot.
Huge. Cherish your youth, Elliot.
I don't know if there's going to be any cheap beer taste tests again to celebrate this one.
Oh, there better be. Cheap seltzer taste tests.
Oh, no. Are there cheap seltzers, specifically cheap seltzers?
I really don't know if they are. The price point is actually quite a bit higher. It's probably part of the reason that these have flooded the market so much.
Yeah, because that would check out. It would make sense.
Significantly more than you could sell Rainier or whatever.
Well, with the toast complete, let's get into it. It's time for our search for Seattle's best fried chicken to move into the knockout stages, into the bracket tournament portion of this competition. We have identified what we believe to be Seattle's 8 best fried chicken locations. And this week, to help us determine the winner of one of the quarterfinal matchups between two of those, we welcome back friend of the pod, Third Pelton brother. You know him as live show foil, as well as a great friend of the pod. Welcome back, DJ Infrared.
Hello, hello, hello. Thank you for bringing me along during this, this very crucial part of everything to do with this. So it was a very focused part of the knockouts stage. So I'm glad to be a part of it. And I can't wait to be a part of this and really to basically to dive in and kind of get into it.
Do you want to start by telling us a little about your fried chicken credentials?
Oh, yeah. First of all, being as a person that am hungry all the time, I am hungry all the time. And because I'm a person who has, within the last 18 months, I am a permanently work from home person as my, basically with my job, you know, involving to an easier way for us to do things. So I do a whole lot of DoorDash and I do a whole lot of Grubhub. And so that allows me to try a new thing and try to revisit a whole lot of things that I know will be the same way. So sometimes it gets a little bit weird. It'll be, you know, something brand new. I will also do something really weird where, yeah, it'll be something that I know is about 3 blocks away, but I will absolutely do that for DoorDash because it's one of those kind of days. And maybe I'm busy today, but, you know, I don't feel like going like 7 minutes away. So, but yeah, I feel like I am, I'm not a chef, like a culinary, you know, master, you know, expert, you know, taste type person. I just eat a lot of good outside food. So I feel like I can approach this with a not unique and an unbiased. I do everything fair. I do everything, you know, with the straight and narrow. So I'm happy to involve my ideas and my opinions to this. So
the good news is we're definitely not chefs either.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love the commitment to being unbiased. We're biased all the time. So
absolutely. When I heard about the head-to-head competition, there was nothing that the name that was involved was going to be guaranteed anything. This was, you know, if this was a March Madness kind of thing, it's like it could be a 1 versus 16 type thing. It's not out of the realm if that wants to happen. So if it happens, it happens. That is what presents itself. So
I mean, I think that's the week for this. So to refresh everyone's memory before we get into comparing our number 2 seed Maono and our number 7 seed Quick Pack Food Mart, it's kind of an open competition. We don't have a specific item on the menu necessarily that we are comparing head to head. The general philosophy is whatever your best fried chicken is, whether that's strips, whether that's bone-in fried chicken, although we've come to the conclusion over the course of this process that bone-in fried chicken is superior, and whether it's spicy, whether it's original, that, you know, just you put, we determine, we make our educated best guess on whatever the best thing is going to be on the menu, and we compare that from the two different locations. So these were a case of some contrasting options because Maono, you have both chicken strips. They obviously have, we've already determined Seattle's best sandwich with their fried chicken sandwich, which was not eligible. Don't give me that look. Don't give me that look with your tats.
You determined this. I did not determine it.
Okay, me and the decider determined it. a quorum decided it, a majority decided it. They have Seattle's best chicken sandwich, but that is not eligible here. So it's just the fried chicken and the chicken strips versus Quick Pack Food Mart, where you have two options. It is fried chicken. It is JoJo's. It's samosas, I think, are the third thing that they make there. Those are the three options you've got. And obviously the JoJo's and the samosas are not, in fact, eligible for Seattle's best fried chicken.
Yeah, if the third thing you want to add in there, I believe, is like cigarettes.
definitely available. I mean, Gatorade. Like, there's a lot of other things, but they're not making those on site. Okay, so Infrared, start by telling us about your experience at these two locations.
So I wanted to approach everything. I thought about doing everything. I didn't want to do both in the same day because I knew that was just going to be a whole mess of trouble for me. So I wanted to spread it out over two different days and everything like that. Basically, because I know I'm not going to basically try everything at a sample size that I will approach everything. I know that when I try to get essentially a family of four, a type of food, I will eat for a family of four when I get it. So when I go to, like, you know, Maono, if I get half of a chicken, I will have the entire half of chicken. You know, when I go to Quick Pack, you know, whenever they give me, I will eat it. It will get done. There was nothing put into the refrigerator when I was there. And that was, like, the only rule for me. Also, I was extremely hungry because I had, like, a really light lunch both days. So I stepped up both times ready to approach it. And so that's really the best, you know, that's really for me the best way I could say is one doing the superior amount of making me satisfied than the other. And it's a simple thing for me. And, you know, I know everyone has, like, so many different ways and different variables and everything like that, that get to the end of everything like that. But who am I basically more satisfied? And essentially, would I go back again the next day? And that is the question I was looking for the answer for after these two, after the weekend that absolutely, most likely, I gained it about 3 or 4 pounds with.
Justin, would you like to tell us about your experience going to Quick Pack Food Mart?
Are you setting me up here?
I am, yes.
I had a very busy weekend and did not make it back to Quick Pack Food Mart. Went for the initial time that we went there. So I'm having to judge Quick Pack from memory on this one. Did, however, go back to Maono, which we went to earlier than Quick Pack. And I think that was one that I needed a refresher on more than I needed Quick Pack.
However, which is odd because we went there, I think, back-to-back weeks.
Did we really?
It must have been pretty close because I know precisely when we went to Quick Pack Food Mart I guess it wasn't back-to-back weeks. I was trying to determine whether it was my first shot of the COVID-19 vaccine or my second shot that I went to Quick Pack before. And I guess it was the second shot. So it was a month apart now that I think about it.
I'm willing, depending on the outcome of this round, if I need to go back to Quick Pack later this week and reassess if that feels like it is something that is necessary after this voting. I have a pretty strong opinion here, but if it seems like something that we need to go reassess, I need to reevaluate my feelings, I'm willing to do that. I'm just throwing that out there in the sake of competition.
So we went and got Maono and brought it back to my house and ate it on the deck, which is one of the benefits of now being in West Seattle is being so much closer to Maono, without question.
Absolutely.
And then I went on Saturday to Quick Pack. So we went on Thursday to Maono, Saturday to Quick Pack. And I tried to create a sneak. I thought there was going to be a sneak because right up the street from Quick Pack is a brewery whose name I have now forgotten and will have to look up. Try to look up while I'm telling this story.
Good stuff.
And I was like, this will be perfect. Chicken and beer, delicious combination, ideal combination. I'll do this. And I get the chicken. I walk over to the brewery a couple, like a block away. And it turns out, lo and behold, that they have their own food and don't allow outside food.
Wow.
And I have to wait to eat it.
Wow.
Standard Brewing is the location there. And I got to say, number one, I had a terrific beer at Standard Brewing that I quickly drank after, because I ordered it before realizing that I couldn't eat my chicken there. So
they specifically said you cannot eat chicken in here.
He said, is that leftovers? Because we don't do outside food anymore. The bartender said
that.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Which, like, I don't know if I was really going to hurt anyone if I just ate my three pieces of chicken there on the back patio. But anyways, I drank the beer very quickly, drove to the nearby Jimi Hendrix Park to eat my fried chicken. It was a great experience there. A wonderful time. So
was it a sunset?
No, sadly, middle of the day. So that was my experience at Quick Pack this time. With that being said, Infrared, let's get your pick here. Let's get your analysis.
You said you're going to do me first. Oh, between the two of us.
Oh no, actually, I guess I did say that wrong. Yeah,
I was going to say we talked about this like 2 minutes ago.
You're right. I'm a professional. Tristan, what is your choice? You said you have a strong take here.
Well, you know, we went back to Maono. It was one where, obviously, I have a long history with Maono, and it's mostly centered around the fried chicken sandwich. We had it a handful of months ago. It's very good. They're fried chicken. The strips are good. The fried chicken is good. Everything that Maono does is good. But at the same time, I didn't really remember it after. And I wanted to get a sense of, do I not remember this because of I'm so used to eating the fried chicken sandwich at Maono, or is the fried chicken just good, but maybe it's not memorable? And so we went back, we did the half chicken spicy this time, and then also, I believe, spicy strips, spicy for both. And it's a thick crunch on the Maono fried chicken. There's a little bit of spice, not a super strong spice to it, but there's a lot of fried involved.
I think you definitely taste a spicy flavor to it, but it's not like overwhelmingly hot.
We're not talking Sisters and Brothers here or something like that.
No.
Yeah.
And the main thing that stood out to me when eating it was, this is very good fried chicken, but I feel like there's not another level to it. Like, it is just very good fried chicken. It's not anything more than that. And Quick Pack Food Mart, to me, I feel like was maybe the most underrated contender in this bracket as the number 7 seed. To me, I think Quick Pack Food Mart is a legit contender for Seattle's best fried chicken. It is the perfect ideal of fried chicken and just like basic straight up fried chicken. Quick Pack Food Mart to me is the absolute best version of it. So having the both of those, it's really tough for me where I see one where I'm like, this one is the best version of a fried chicken. And another one where this is a very good fried chicken. They're extraordinarily close. But I also come back to that point of Maono won Seattle's best sandwich with a chicken sandwich. And if the chicken sandwich is the best item that Maono does, I'm not willing to say that the fried chicken is better than the chicken sandwich, because I don't think it is. I think the chicken sandwich is the best thing that Maono does. And I think that we have to keep it there as the best sandwich in Seattle. And my pick in this round is for Quick Pack Food Mart.
All right, Infrared, let's go to you.
So for me, it's basically trying to figure out what the two approaches to that, because it's very similar that you described. And it's really the way that Maono approaches everything in a vastly different approach than Quick Pack. And because of that, I feel like in a pie in the sky, like, you know, perfect world, I feel like everything with Quick Pack can step up to everything with Maono, and they could, if they want to, not, you know, 100% of the time, but they can beat, you know, if they bring the best to them. The problem that I have which could be somewhat, you know, a little bit on my the blame. I wanted to go there at 5:30 p.m. on a Monday. So I ended up with wings. I think I got 5 wings and 2 drums. And like, that's basically, I'm not mad about it. And also I got the secret of the hot sauce, which by the way, is just like, it's actual hot sauce. It's not, you know, it's, I feel like what Manolo, it's like, it's spice for like, it's almost like it's for just like, you know, like a seasoning type of thing. It's not, yes, like it's actually hot. It's right. Just like, it's like, it's almost like, it's like, you know, it's like for showing. It's like, yeah, it's a spicy, like, you know, it's like, it looks good in a, it looks good in like in a picture that you would see, but it's not actually spicy. And like when I got it, I think I got it the medium, but the medium was basically a little bit more than the mild of like anyone else possible. And it was just basically, it was like, I did want to do everything. It was like, am I avoiding the issue? Cause I know the one of the, I didn't want people to, it's not cheating, but I did not want anyone to use something like the hot sauce to hide the chicken with, right, the hot sauce, yeah, or something else.
Great point.
And so I wanted to try to not just make it plain, like a plain amount of chicken, but I don't want to, you know, basically to take the chicken and like, you know, diminish it. So I thought I could get like the middle ground of everything like that. The problem that I have is just, I really wish I wanted to get like a thigh. Like I was like kind of sad about that, but that's fine. But I mean,
this is on us really, because we learned the first time through that you have to call ahead and that's the way to go. And we did not share this with you when we asked you to go. That's on us.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, well, when I called them, they also told me no.
Oh, wow.
Well, which is fine, because I don't know, maybe it's like, you know, maybe there's like a dinner rush or something like that, which is fine. I, you know, I'm not mad at it. And like I said, like to get things like, you know, to get legs and to get, you know, wings, that's still really delicious. That's like, you know, a better than 95% of anything else that would be, you know, I would get from them. Like that's better than KFC. But what am I thinking about that in a head-to-head competition? So I think if I wanted to, in a perfect world, I would give it to Quick Pack. But this time I would slightly give it to Maono. Like, wow. It'd be like a buzzer beater type of thing. It would be a very close.
This was Jalen Suggs making the three at the end of overtime as Gonzaga beat UCLA in the national semifinals.
Yeah, if they feel like, basically, are they like, you know, is Maono like Villanova? Basically. But even though this is not really the, you know, this is not the national candidate, but yeah, it's close. This kind of feels like a whole lot UConn-ish, and like we don't have to go why, but yeah, they felt very UConn-ish with this eking out for me.
This muscle tank I'm wearing has kind of a Khalid, I mean, what's the dude's name?
Richard Hamilton?
No, the other guy.
Yeah.
Ooh. I don't.
Oh my God. Who is the chunky dude who played for UConn on that team?
Jake Foskell?
No, his name sounded like Khalid Al-Amin. All right, we're going to come
back. Khalid Al-Amin was the point guard at UConn at that point.
Okay.
So, all right.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was a husky one.
In more ways than one.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Kevin, you're the decider now.
So the reason this is a 2-7 matchup is largely, I think you may have rated Quick Pack higher than Maono when we went through these in the group play round of our search for Seattle's best chicken. But I rated Ma'ono, I believe, number one among all chicken locations.
Wow.
And had Quick Pack much lower when we did this going through the first time. And that's why it was important for me to go back. I made the commitment to go back and on Saturday. And I think both of you described it well. The simplicity and infrared contrasted it to KFC. To me, this felt like if you ate KFC when it was the original recipe, what is it, 13 herbs and spices, before it was a commoditized chain restaurant, but when the Colonel was just selling it at individual restaurants, you know, when he was just starting out, that to me is kind of what Quick Pack Food Mart is like, because it's a similar style to that. And, you know, I got it fresh because I was able to call in the order and get two thighs and a leg. And the one thing I would say, again, to Infrared's point, it's a little uneven. There were some pieces that I don't think were spiced quite as well as others, but the ones that were spiced well were spiced better than any other chicken that we have had in the city of Seattle.
Yes.
And ultimately, at the end of the day, the more satisfying eating experience to me was Quick Pack Food Mart. And I have to vote for it to pull the upset here. Richard Hamilton's shot is falling off this time. Brandon Roy is not fouling out on a technical foul. The upset is being pulled this time by the number 7 seed, Quick Pack Food Mart.
And I am not offended. I am not offended by all. And that could be basically something that could be swayed by the individual thing that I did. But yeah, it's, you know, maybe with the new rules, the new NBA rules, yeah, you know, after further, we need a guy coming up basically to the, he's coming over and to let us know, by the way, it doesn't count. And then oh, no. You know, yeah,
so, wave yeah. off the basket.
Yeah,
after the buzzer.
Yeah, after further reviews. And then like, yeah, it's like, yeah, okay, yeah, it makes sense. So, but yeah, it for me, like those things are despite of the uneven, you know, as far as people go in, it's not 100% that everyone does what you get. But if you, and it's very easy to do it, if you get what you get from the basically from the best, basically the step forward that is best, it's Quick Pack. And this is what that reflects it. Yeah. It I don't think that Ma'ono can, they can't match that.
The other thing I'd say, by the way, is I think if we were doing pure chicken strips in this search, Ma'ono would probably win. I think they have the best chicken strips. That's the most similar to their fried chicken sandwich, but we aren't doing that. We've learned about the superiority of bone-in fried chicken, and that's where the edge goes to Quick Pack. So, well, I would say that the real winners were Infrared and I, because we got to eat both of these places, but the real winner is actually Tristan, because he's off the hook for not eating Quick Pack this time. And he gets to go back.
I know.
We go there in the semifinals, where they will be matching up against the subsequent winner of Pioneer Square D&E and ST Hooligans, a heavily,
oh, man.
Heavily alphabetical matchup.
I think I'm going to just get some in spirit just to,
I mean, the listener eats along at home is always welcomed and encouraged. I think as part of these searches, we haven't had a lot of that this year.
Yeah. And like, you know, I'm not offended by Ma'ono. Like we can basically, I can get some from both and just be like, hey, everybody just shake hands. And like,
exactly.
It's basically the game's over. Hey, let's shake hands, coaches, shake hands, everything like that. And everyone can just shake hands in my stomach. So absolutely. That works.
Well, yeah. Quick Pack Food Mart moves on in the upset. Infrared, thank you so much for joining us on this first matchup of the search for Seattle's best fried chicken bracket.
And we look forward to having you at the Peltoncast live show whenever that ends up being.
Yes, and I definitely appreciate you guys to invite me and ask me to do it. And the next 2 or 3 days, I will be working to try to work that pound-wise off me. So, but yeah.
It's clearly I haven't. subsequently going to Las Vegas, and then I have to come back and eat the chicken for next week's matchup. So I'm just leaning into it at this point, I guess. All right. Thanks so much.
Absolutely.
Wow. I honestly, I looked at you when you went to Infrared for the second vote. Just like, wow.
We had communicated, hopefully Infrared didn't quite pick up on this, that we were going to determine the order based on what Tristan picked, because I knew what I was picking and we wanted to make sure it would maximize the possibility, or not make it so that Infrared went last and his vote was irrelevant.
Yes.
So, yeah, so you knew immediately that I was joining you in voting for Quick Pack.
I was pretty shocked. It was, and I think a really big part of it, it can't be understated, is what type of chicken you got. And we did these rankings before, but being able to get that chicken thigh.
Oh, yeah.
And that was the first ever piece of chicken that I had from Quick Pack, was a chicken thigh. I had that and I was just like, this is it. We've achieved fried chicken excellence. What do I need anything more from? And so I think,
let's wait and see until we go back to Cookies and D&E and some of the other locations here. I mean, I'm not penciling Quick Pack into the final just yet.
I'm just telling you right now, in May 2021, Quick Pack Food Mart was approaching perfection.
Well, we will see. Are we going to do the opposite matchup next week, I guess?
The 3-6. I'm going to Fremont tomorrow. So
you can go to
ST Hooligans.
Yes.
Thy name is chicken. yeah, I could probably swing by ST Hooligans tomorrow afternoon. So
nice.
In any time that I'm going to be in Fremont already, I might as well just have some ST Hooligans.
Makes sense. Do the people want a Las Vegas food update?
Absolutely. Am I people?
There's been a lot of posts on the Instagram of my eating this week, which is really just all I'm doing in the midst of this pandemic, besides wandering looking for beer, is going to Thomas and Mack Center for NBA games and eating. That's all I'm doing.
You've been spending a lot of time with Nate Duncan and Danny LaRue and Big Wass.
Very little time with Danny LaRue, actually.
Wow.
He was at the first area. His fiance is also here. So the two of them joined us for dinner on Sunday night when we first got here. But I have not had a meal with him since.
Wow. Danny LaRue is too busy for you.
Yep.
Danny LaRue with his new bride. Who else have you been eating with? I saw a burrito earlier today.
That was not a burrito.
Oh.
So that was... As you'll recall, Block 16 in the Cosmopolitan, one of our favorite lunch spots, went there on Tuesday, went to Lardo for the first time since 2019.
Can you, in fact, just, you're starting there, can you just run through every meal kind of quickly?
Sure.
Because I'm curious myself.
So the first night we went to Momofuku.
Okay.
Instead of doing the bosom, is the group large format dish, we instead did their roasted duck.
Which
they serve in a fairly similar manner. They also, you know, you can do it Somme style in a lettuce wrap.
Okay.
You can also do Chinese style pancakes, like basically, you know, to wrap the duck in is another option.
Okay.
They serve you they take back the duck bones and fry those so that they basically end up kind of like chicken wings. And those are delicious as well. So I highly recommend that if you're going to go with a large format item at Momofuku in Las Vegas.
Okay. How much is Nate Duncan putting down of these meals? Because like I eat at Momofuku and my stomach hurts that night.
Just a ridiculous amount.
God, so good.
I did not join them for the annual Caesar's buffet trip. That was Tuesday night.
How come?
I'm not as big a buffet guy. And
we may have been raised pretty similarly, similar place at a similar time, but there are some notable differences between us.
I mean, I used to love a buffet. We did the buffet of buffets one year and ate three different buffets in a 24-hour span.
I mean, I did the buffet of buffets for years.
I can't eat like that anymore. I'm having a hard enough time keeping up with Nate Duncan when there's a fixed quantity of food to be eaten.
I love the idea for most people. It's just like, my friend, still going so hard after all these years. Just like, Nate Duncan is eating too much for you. I can't keep up with Nate Duncan and do the Caesar's buffet.
There's a lot of food being ordered. So Tuesday for lunch is that was with Nate and Big Waz. It was good to see.
So
Waz,
he did this lunch with you, and then bam, went back for the Caesar's buffet.
No, this was on Monday.
Oh, okay, that was with Monday that you had noodles.
Yes. So we went to Mian, which, as we've discussed in the podcast before, is an offshoot of Chengdu Taste in the LA area, which came to Seattle. We kind of were underwhelmed, I think, by our first trip to Chengdu Taste. May have to go back and try it again. But Mian is really the place that we love, that it's kind of more noodle focused.
This is the place that I feel like we went to first.
No. Oh, we went to a different noodle place.
Oh, I'll go to any hand-shaped noodle place.
This isn't
me in the direction of hand-shaped noodles. I'll be there.
Obviously. This is it's a slightly different menu here.
Obviously.
Nate's favorite is the cold noodles. We ordered three plates of the cold noodles when we went for lunch. This is what I'm talking about here, which I don't even love the cold noodles that much. I particularly love, we had a couple of different versions of dumplings in hot chili oil, and those were my favorites, I think.
Most of the friend group slowed down by that time period. But Nate Duncan, he just kept going.
Let's see. What... what was dinner Monday? Oh, dinner Monday night was Lotus of Siam, which is a highly regarded Thai restaurant. I went to it once for lunch, but I went with a friend of the pod, Ben Golliver, who's vegetarian. So there wasn't a lot of sharing food. This time it was more family style. And we had their cow soy, I've said on this pod, is pretty much my favorite food item, generally speaking.
Cow soy stand.
And
was this also with Nate? Have you had every meal with Nate Duncan?
Not every. I told you I didn't eat with him on Tuesday night. And some of the lunches we have not eaten together. But three dinners. The cow soy with duck was quite good. And then also they have these like fried prawns. But one of the things they do is they fry the skin of the prawns as well. And it becomes edible. It's kind of like the texture of a potato chip.
Oh, and shit.
That was like... I'm really supposed to eat this? You're sure? And then I ate it and I was like, this is incredible. I want to eat so much more of this.
I'm supposed to eat this. I'm sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
100% sure. Tuesday for lunch, went to Lardo, as I mentioned, first time since I think 2019 that I've gone to Lardo.
We don't need to talk about Lardo though. We know. Or were you leading up to a larger story about Lardo?
I was leading up to a larger story. Okay. So Block 16 had previously Pock Pock Wing, but all of the Pock Pock locations, as we talked about on this pod, closed last year, and Uricker made the decision not to continue. So there was an opening at Block 16, and and David Chang stepped up to fill it with Bang Bar. I don't know how it's actually pronounced, but that's the name for bread in Korean. He's had a location like this in New York, and so they do kind of like flatbreads, basically, that they then wrap grilled meats in. And you got a couple of different options, but I did the pork, which they're shaving off of. I forget what the name of the spinning spit is there, but they're shaving off of that.
What are those things called? God.
I should know that because they're one of my favorite things in the world. Love to see them.
So it's just meat and flatbread.
Yeah, and sauce. So it was lot of different flavors in there.
Not that far off from a burrito, but yes.
No, but it's not a burrito.
Yeah, culturally it's different, but...
Yes. In practice, it's very similar.
Okay.
So that was quite good.
Okay, that sounds incredible. Definitely
recommend.
You know, Dave Chang's on notice, right? Like, for a number of reasons, but like, there are definitely a lot of David Chang locations. Where at some point the quality is going to, all of a sudden we're going to have a Wolfgang Puck in the airport. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't think that's quite what's happening yet here. I have not tried yet the Majordomo Meat and Fish, which is also open in the, I think that's either in the Wynn or the Encore.
You saying David Chang stepped up because there was an opening. It's just like, of course he did.
Well, he stepped up well, let me tell you.
It looked incredible. So
on Tuesday night, instead of Caesar's Buffet, did a family-style Italian dinner at Carmine's in the Caesar's Palace in the Forum Shops there. That was solid. Not as spectacular, I think, as some of the other meals.
Who was that with?
That was with a group of statistical analysts, like people who work for teams generally.
You can't even say who they are.
I don't know if they would be that interesting to
the
people.
The name drops aren't impressive enough.
They may not want to share that they were eating with me. They may want to keep that secret.
I can't even imagine what the conversation was like with the.
We'll talk about it offline.
Sengungasm.
Oh, there was not as much Sengun talk as you would expect at that meal. Not even tonight when I had dinner with John Hollinger and Seth Partnow. Because John Hollinger beat me to Elper and Sengun, although I don't know if he was even quite as high as my statistical projection for Sengun.
How did he play, by the way?
We played really well last night. He stole the show.
Oh, man. Okay.
He was dunking on people, hence we were coming up with terms for that. And I agree that Sengun squad is a good thing, but that's fans of Sengun, like myself, are the Sengun squad.
Okay.
That's not what you call it when he dunks. So.
There was one that was really bad of the two that you had.
It was just Air Alperin and Air Sengun.
Air Alperin? Why isn't it Airperin Sengun?
I suppose it could be that.
You're adding it. Okay. It's like you've never.
Well, it's supposed to be like people. It's supposed to be like an airline.
I like the Turkish Airlines, though, when people are calling him that, right? He's Turkish.
He is Turkish, yes.
Okay.
So that's a possibility.
You're off your game. It's fine. You know, you're weighed down by all this food with Nate Duncan.
Clearly. So tonight we went to Pizza Rock, which is apparently an offshoot of a location in San Francisco that Nate is very fond of, with like award-winning pizzas. And what they do is they do like all different kinds of pizzas. So we had a Detroit-style pizza. We had a Sicilian pizza. We had, don't give me that look about Detroit style pizza. It was
delicious.
No,
this is not a question of Detroit style pizza at all. This is a question of people in San Francisco doing Detroit style pizza. And just when I hear San Francisco and I hear all different types of pizzas, that raises a red flag for me.
Won, like, according to the menu, they've won a lot of gold medals in a lot of different varieties in pizza competitions. And I thought the Detroit style pizza was probably my favorite of the ones we tried. We also did, like I said, the Sicilian style. There was a classic American. We ordered 5 pizzas. There was so much food.
And how many cold noodles?
Yeah, 3 cold noodles.
So you understand why my guard would be up when I
do.
I mean, really, just San Francisco in general. Boom, my guard's up. If and pizza, right? Like.
And there was a Neapolitan that I didn't even get to because there were so many other different pizzas to eat. I was like, I've had this.
And this was just you and Nate Duncan, right?
No.
I just love the idea of you being like, maybe one to split. And he's like, all right, we're going to need 5 pizzas here.
I felt like 3 could have done with 3. 4 would have been on the high side. But we ended
John Hollinger and Seth Partnow were there for this one? Or was that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
So it was that it? Were you talking a pizza over a pizza per person?
Correct. So that did not all get finished.
Oh, there was leftover pizza?
There was leftover pizza.
Do you have any of it in your room?
I did not bring it.
God, I would eat that.
I'm sure you would.
Guard up or not, I would go for some pizza right now.
So that's my meals in Vegas.
Is there anything else left on the docket?
I want to try and hit Tacos El Gordo for lunch one of the next 2 days.
Which one is that?
It's the one we went to the last time we were here.
With Nate Duncan.
Yes. And
where
we
they have
there
the different lines for the different foods, right?
Correct. Okay. Yes, Tijuana style tacos.
I thought that was pretty good.
It was very good. That's why I want to go back. Do you want to talk any other summer league?
I mean, I think you're going to have to tee that up.
I just wanted, like, is it interesting to you to talk about the Summer League?
Absolutely it is. Normally I'm talking to you all the time. I have no idea what's going on.
I mean, so Jalen Green and Cade Cunningham played on Tuesday night. I think Green probably slightly got the better of that matchup.
Really?
Cunningham played better than the first game where he was kind of a non-factor.
I'm going to be honest with you. I do not know who Jalen Green is.
So he played in the G League last year instead of playing college basketball.
Okay.
He's a very talented shooting guard. You know, like he's going to be a high scorer in the league, super athletic, great dunks, you know, very fun to watch, probably much more fun to watch, I would say, than Cade Cunningham. And he and Elperin Şengün, I would say, already have good chemistry.
Oh, wow. He got drafted by the Rockets.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And they have a third first round pick from this year, Josh Christopher from Arizona State, who's also a ridiculous athlete. Like, they're going to put those two guys and Kevin Porter Jr. out there next year, and it's just going to be an overload of athleticism.
Wow.
And dunking. So
Josh Christopher, two first names. And Alperen and Şengün are both first names in Turkish, right?
I'll take your word for it.
But this is good if the Rockets have a good young core with regards to the Thunder have a number of their draft picks.
Yes.
Okay. I'm for it.
The other big story of Summer League thus far, Jalen Suggs has been good both the games. He played against Evan Mobley today, number three pick. They had shockingly similar stat lines. The other story of Summer League that we need to talk about is a guy named Giannis Tima, who was drafted by the Memphis Grizzlies in 2013 with the 60th overall pick, I believe, the final
pick.
Should
we put him on the players to watch for next year list already?
Well, he's not going to be at the NBA. So sadly, no. God. He will not be on the players to watch list. But he is on the players to watch list in Summer League. So he comes out for their opener the other day, and like, we're all watching Orlando because they have Jalen Suggs. And he has, you know, bleached blonde kind of long hair, like super blonde, deep tan, sleeves on both arms. He looks very much like an 80s movie villain, or perhaps a character in the movie Bloodsport.
Okay.
It's a delightful look. And then he just comes out there and starts jacking up threes. And like sprinting. He's also wearing like neon yellow shoes, so it really gives him a super create a player look. He's wearing the number 62. Oh, there's just God. A lot going on with Giannis Tima, I would say, right
Giannis
now.
Giannis Tima.
It's definitely like everyone is talking about him.
Where is he from?
He's from Latvia.
Latvia? Oh well. I love the idea that y'all sitting around, you and the stat geeks are being like, you see that Tima play?
Oh. There was a lot of Tima talk. It was Tima time.
Tima time. Who is the player, let's say, that you're getting together with various employees of NBA teams who work in stats? Who are you talking about the most? Is it the players at the top, or is there anybody else? You said you weren't talking Şengün.
I mean,
because if they work for teams, there's some Şengün jealousy, right?
Şengün envy. Probably. It's more random than that. Like, for example, there was a player who, you know, there was two employees from one team and one employee from another team, and a player happened to be traded from the one team to the other last season. So there was a shocking amount of talk about that particular player, even though they're not like a super prominent player. So like, that's the kind of thing that happened. There was a lot of stories about, you know, your experiences with players working with the team, that sort of thing.
So it was a little bit less of like who's enrapturing people with Summer League.
Correct. I mean, Şengün is, and then the top guys are the main ones. I don't know that there's Aaron Nesmith shot really well the other day. That was good to see, I guess. But there's not that much buzz about what's happening on the court.
Okay.
So
does it feel normal? Do things feel?
I mean, the everyone being masked all the time does not, you know, really feel normal. No, but it's closer than any other basketball experience I've had. Certainly, I mean, you could. I'm not personally doing it, but you could interview players in person, and it sounds like we will be able to in the WNBA when that season resumes.
Okay. So, well. That's interesting. I mean, again, typically, I think we've discussed this has sometimes been the Pelton Cast bye week, but 2021, no bye weeks for the Pelton Cast.
We're powering through. Well, we have to get that bracket done just in case we actually do the live show.
We'll see.
On September 18th.
We'll see what happens.
We're saving the date, but we're not like firmly saving the date.
Yeah, just save the date. Save a lot of dates.
All right, should we talk about Seattle sports?
I really like that breakdown of every meal that you've eaten.
What's better than the meal you didn't eat? So the Mariners.
lost three. If Nate Duncan would have told me that the restaurant was his favorite taco place, people would have loved the story.
It's true. It's true.
If I could have only worked Seth Partnow into it.
The Mariners lost 3 of 4 against the Yankees over the weekend, as I mentioned. They lost the opener of their homestand against the Texas Rangers on Tuesday night, but then came back with, you'll never guess it, a 1-1 one-run win over the Rangers on Wednesday, 2-1 with a game-winning hit by Luis Torrens in the ninth inning.
There we go.
So updating the standings here on the fly, the Mariners now up to 60-55 on the season.
Wow, you did that on the fly?
I did, remembering what their record was previously. Still 5.5, however, out of that second wild card behind the Boston Red Sox, trailing also the Yankees and the Toronto Blue Jays.
When the season's over, and so we basically turn our attention to things that are happening off the field for the Mariners, such as unveiling in their continued nostalgia glorification of the 95 season, which, look, I don't blame them for necessarily.
Remembering the good times, such as they were.
You know, should that a team one time in their entire history make the ALCS, you have to enact not one, but two statues from that team to commemorate an ALCS appearance. But we go to you for your take on statues in general.
As you know, I'm not a fan of statues. That said, if you're going to do a statue, having an Edgar statue and a Griffey statue are two fine choices.
Okay. You're fine with these statues?
Look, I'm full of pizza. I'm not ready for angry takes here.
Wow. I'm chilling. You're full of pizza. You're all of a sudden pro statue.
I'm not pro statue. I'm just not willing to get into an argument about
neutral it. Neutral on statue. Yeah, look, Rollo can get the vax or not. It's fine.
there's a state mandate. I've not read the news stories about how that affects him, but
I think teachers are exempt from it. I don't know about highest paid employees of the state, football coaches, where they fall under it, paid more than the fucking governor, football coaches. Yeah, two statues. ALCS appearance. Lost in 6.
No statues for Nick Rolovich's yet.
It is pretty funny though that Mariners history, just like,
yeah,
what it takes to get a statue enacted here. It really is a reason to sign with the Mariners versus another team, because the chances of getting a statue made for you is like absurdly high. The achievements don't have to be that great. Not that Edgar Martinez and Kikuchi Jr. aren't, like, their entire careers weren't amazing careers. But as far as winning on the field in Seattle goes, all you got to do is get to game 6 of the LCS. Boom, oh, statue.
Huge success. I mean, the Ichiro statue is coming eventually, we have to assume, right?
Oh, yeah. He did make the playoffs with the Mariners. But
he also did make the ALCS. I don't think they got to game 6. They only won one in that one.
Did they really? That was a five game series. They made the ALCS in 2001?
Yeah.
So Ichiro was on the Mariners, and he made the playoffs precisely one time in his entire career.
That is correct. With the Mariners. He made it other times.
Build a statue? Enact the statue? Put it up. It's going to be a statue of him getting the hits championship or whatever.
Someone asked me earlier whether there's going to be a Felix statue.
Oh, yeah.
And that was zero.
Once made the playoffs in his Mariners career.
And not Felix.
Build a statue. Put it up.
Well, you know,
if you were any player, like if you were the Yankees, like the Mariners equivalent, like Aaron fucking Boone would have a statue or something. Like,
I mean, Aaron Boone did have one of the greatest moments in Yankees history.
I know, but still, they would be giving Joe Girardi would have a statue.
Jorge Posada. So Martino Martinez also would have a statue for the Yankees.
Both teams, he might have a Mariner statue.
So a team that has a lot more playoff appearances than statues is Seattle Sounders FC, which reached the semifinals.
Oh, I don't know if you call them statues. You call them trophies.
That's true. Of the league. But are they trophies? No, they're not cups. They're trophies, but they're not cups.
They've got cups as well, though, right?
Yes.
It's called the MLS Cup, isn't it?
But I don't know if you can drink out of it. Can you drink out of it?
It's shaped like a cup. I don't know. People need
you
to
might be
be
able to.
You much. Bro- more particular about the delineation between cups and trophies.
So speaking of cups, Sounders reached the semifinals of the League's Cup with a dominating 3-0 victory over UANL Tigres, who won the CONCACAF Champions League last year, beating LAFC in the final. However, they did not bring several of their top players to Seattle while the Sounders started their regular squad. Raul Ruidíaz opened the scoring with a Petenka penalty in the 23rd minute. Freddy Montero tapped in a flicked header off a corner kick in the 65th to double the lead.
Love hearing that.
And Nico Ladero completed the win by scoring from well outside the box, not long after entering as a substitute for his first goal of his abbreviated 2021 season. The Sounders advanced.
A very thrilling goal.
Yes, it was. Sounders advanced to face the winner of the Orlando City Santos Laguna matchup this Thursday. That match in the semifinals will be held either September 14th or 15th, with the final scheduled for September 22nd at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas, which I, not to brag, I can see from my room. I can see it from here.
Look at that. Just hung out with Nate Duncan. Saw a stadium.
Before last Thursday's close of the MLS in-season transfer window, the Sounders added 21-year-old Brazilian winger Leo Chu on a transfer from local side Grêmio for a $2.5 million fee and acquired MLS veteran Nicola Benize from the Colorado Rapids for $50,000. General allocation money. Benize is a 30-year-old attacking midfielder who has served almost exclusively as a depth piece with Colorado and Toronto FC in 3 MLS seasons. Gives the Sounders a bit more experience off the bench heading into a stretch of 4 matches in 12 days, starting with that game against Tigres. Chu is probably more of a long-term play as part of the MLS U22 initiative to develop talent in the league.
Oh.
Up next for the Sounders, a derby match versus hated rivals Portland on Sunday, nationally televised on FS1. The Timbers come in sixth in the West standings with 1.35 points per match. They recently dealt 2017 number 4 overall pick Jeremy Ebobasi to San Jose for $1.2 million in general allocation money. That game was originally scheduled for 5:30 on Sunday, but has been pushed back to 7 to help mitigate the effect of the heat wave in the Pacific Northwest.
Is that here in Portland?
It's in Portland.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, it'll be even hotter.
Okay.
So, hopefully, definitely some hydration breaks in that one. OL Reign got a huge 5-1 win Saturday against the Houston Dash. All 6 goals came in the first half, with Reign getting a brace from Bethany Balser and a goal and 2 assists each for Jessica Fishlock and Eugenie Lesomer. Sofia Huerta scored the other goal. The Reign have now scored 12 goals in their last 5 matches after totaling 5 in their first 8 games of the season. Lesomer getting acclimated to NWSL and a new team is clearly a huge part of it. She's got 3 goals and 3 assists in the last 3 matches after not previously having any in her first 4 starts and 5 appearances for the Reign.
It's been a while since I've taken French. I do not think you pronounce that R.
I think it is.
Lesomer? Not
Lesom.
Lesomer?
I don't think it is in that particular case.
All right.
I definitely looked this up when she was first transferred to the Sounders, to the Reign, I should say.
Okay.
Along with Sarah Buadi. 3-game winning streak for the Reign has come during a period where many NWSL stars are missing for the Olympics, but of course the Reign getting their share of star talent back with Lavelle, Quinn, and Rapinoe. Now up to 6th in the NWSL standings, where the top 4 make the playoffs. 538 projections give the Reign a 76% chance to reach the playoffs. They'll have an opportunity to continue their streak this weekend as they travel to face Kansas City, which remains winless this season at 0-9-4.
There we go.
Seattle Storm back in action after the Olympic break, and they'll kick things off Thursday night against the Connecticut Sun in Phoenix in the Commissioner's Cup Final at 6 p.m., which will be airing exclusively on Amazon Prime as part of their sponsorship of the Commissioner's Cup. An interesting matchup here because the Connecticut Sun had no players in the Olympics, while the Storm had 5 players between the U.S. team and Australia. Storm also have Katie Lou Samuelson starting forward, coming back from a post-vaccination battle with COVID-19. Last week, Samuelson told Henry Bushnell of Yahoo Sports that she's working her way back into playing shape after self-isolating first in a hotel room in Las Vegas, where she had been training with the U.S. 3x3 national team, and then concluded that at home in Seattle after driving back during that period. So Storm then will start a road trip. They'll go from Phoenix directly into a road trip, I think, to starting Sunday against the Chicago Sky as they resume regular season WNBA play with the league's best record at 16-5. That one Sunday at 1 p.m. will be on nationally televised on ABC. All right, UW football training camp is underway, and it sounds like there's no open competition for quarterback, as some anticipated. Jimmy Lake, after the first day of practice, said, "Well, Dylan Morris is our starter. Dylan Morris is our starter, so it sounds solidified to me." He also said, "You know, all positions are potentially up for grabs, but not the kind of like open competition. We don't know who's going to start that, you know, was sort of talked about during spring ball with Sam Heward coming in as a freshman and Dylan O'Brien coming in as an experienced senior." Or, excuse me, Patrick O'Brien.
I don't know if this is a surprise necessarily. I mean, the thing is, Dylan Morris in the shortened season last year played well. And there are two statements that you're going to say from Jimmy Lake, and neither of which I'm going to say I think I agree with or are going to 100% be true. Is there a chance that Sam Heward starts a game for UW this year? Absolutely. Is Dylan Morris the starter right now? Also, absolutely. It just doesn't really mean that much, right? This isn't a Jacob Eason, Sam Ellinger type situation. It's Dylan Morris's job to lose, but Dylan Morris can still lose this job. He's not the starter in the sense that, in as much as almost any college quarterback is, he's the starter, taking it back to Jacob Eason, in the sense that Jacob Eason was the starter for Georgia in his sophomore year at Georgia, but the job can be lost.
He didn't lose that job. He got hurt, and Jake Fromm then played so well that he Wally pipped him.
That could be the case as well.
It certainly could be. I mean, I would be surprised if Sam Heward doesn't see the field in a meaningful role at all this season. Like, if you look at the history of quarterbacks with kind of similar recruiting ratings to Sam Heward, they don't necessarily open the season as the starter, but they typically become the starter at some point. It's similar to first round quarterbacks in the NFL, I think we've seen. You know, San Francisco right now, Jimmy Garoppolo is the starter, but do we think that Trey Lance will get an opportunity at some point? Was that his name? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, we probably do at some point. Maybe because of an injury to Jimmy G, maybe just because it's time to make a change.
Okay.
All right, so statement number two that you're apparently going to dispute. Jimmy Lake also said that Zion Tupuola-Fatui will play during the regular season despite an Achilles tear suffered during spring practice on April 16th. Lake said he's, quote, way ahead of schedule. He will for sure be seeing the field in 2021, although there's no specific timetable as yet.
No fucking way. He's not playing.
I mean, even when he first got injured, they were talking about him playing at some point late in the season.
Yeah, Daryl Taylor is really going to make an impact on the 2020 season, too.
I don't know that that's comparable.
I mean, he's not playing. It's fine. He's just not going to play in the season.
I am willing to wager you on this one. I don't know what we're going to wager, but you know it could be.
What's that?
It could be a beer at Husky Stadium.
Hello!
Yes, UW has officially announced beer and wine sales throughout the stadium this season. And related change will no longer be allowing re-entry to the stadium during games.
Boo.
So the idea being, now that there's more widespread availability of beer and wine, people do not need to go back to their cars to drink during halftime.
I don't know why. It's a strange give and take, as if they were just like, well, you can't drink in the stadium, so we're fine with you leaving and going and getting wasted in our overly long halftime.
It's overly long, but if you're walking back to your car, it goes by in a hurry.
Oh, not if you stash beers outside of the practice facility.
No one would ever do such a thing.
Look, some people were getting creative with it. Let's just be honest here. You could stash a handful of beers behind the practice facility and make it back before the third quarter kicked off. So, but it is a pretty hilarious compromise.
Just the possibility that people might go 3 hours without drinking a beer has not been considered at any point during this. No one considered that option.
Oh, Lord. Well, I don't know. I guess this is progress.
I think people were happy with this overall.
It's going to be a different vibe.
Well, also because the pandemic, it's a different vibe everywhere.
Yeah. I actually had a thought, following up on my statement about when it turned to August, Baby Fantasy Genius was panicking about how old he's getting again.
And, oh no.
Which, you turn 9 and it's time to start worrying about death. Of course, don't worry about it. Elliot Allen,
it's time for like a 10th life crisis.
And I was like, he was upset because it was August. And I was like, August is the Sunday of months.
I guess that checks out.
Every August, even if you don't go back to school, you still kind of feel it. You're just like, what was good is coming to an end. July is Saturday, right? June is Friday. You're just like, we've got the whole summer ahead of us. July is Saturday. You're like, this is amazing. We're living it up. We'll never come down for this. And then Sunday hits and it's fucking August. And then really like Labor Day. But then you get to Monday and you're like, it's fine, right? The NFL season has started. I actually feel okay. I have fall feelings. It's good. But the Sunday scaries, that's the entire month of August.
That's actually a shockingly good metaphor.
Thank
well
you.
Well done.
Thank you.
Well done. Well, should we talk about the Seahawks?
And my aging children.
A newsy week for the Seahawks, who played a mock game Sunday at Lumen Field, their first game in Seattle in front of fans since the end of the 2019 season. And naturally, they concluded it by booing the decision to stay authentic and kneel out the final minute of the game.
The fans did?
They did. Just great work there.
I'm going to side with the fans here.
You always do. Defense has dominated the red zone with the. No, probably not.
Don't think that's true.
No, probably not. Defense has dominated the red zone with offenses scoring just one touchdown on the opening possession for the first team. The other touchdown score when Puna Ford found the end zone on a fumble. That should be a toast to Puna. Puna Hive.
Wow.
Big man touchdown.
We're toasting to Puna Hive, not even for a preseason touchdown, for a practice game at Lumen Field touchdown.
Well, how many touchdowns
just
are we going to get
build
for
the
Puna
statue.
Ford?
Put it up. If it were the Mariners, it would have been the most thrilling moment of the last 25 years.
It's probably true. Well, it was a more thrilling moment than the news reports on Seahawks extensions.
Oh, no.
My ESPN colleague Adam Schefter reported last week that Dwayne Brown is not happy that his contract has not been extended as he continues his old in. Bob Condotta in Adam Jude at the Seattle Times reported on Tuesday that the team has not negotiated with Brown as of yet. And Wilson said after Sunday's mock game that, quote, we've got to figure that out with regard to Brown not practicing. So, or DEFCON level with Russell Wilson and this Dwayne Brown hold-in, we've moved that down from a DEFCON 4 to DEFCON 3. There's still a lot of DEFCONs to go because it's only August 12th. But we're moving
down. DEFCONs, I know we go over this every time we DEFCON.
One is the highest alert, DEFCON
it's
1.
Decreasing levels is scarier, yes. DEFCONs.
DEFCON 5 is peacetime conditions.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So wait, what are we at?
We're at
DEFCON
3.
What is the DEFCON? It's DEFCON for Russell Wilson?
DEFCON, yes, for the Seahawks and just like general extension
chaos. And we're at a 3?
This is also the opposite of Danny Kelly's third Belton brother, Danny Kelly's circus rings or brother, ring tops.
I saw that meteor soaring by and I was at a DEFCON 5 in that moment, which apparently is a totally fine DEFCON to be at.
Whichever the good DEFCON is, I was at that one. Oh boy.
It might be August, but somehow I'm chilling.
Felton Gas to DEFCONs. maybe they need to take Dwayne Brown and Jamal Adams out to them. Maybe they need to take John Schneider out to see the meteor shower. I don't know. One or the other.
August is the Sunday of months is the best thing that I've done all year.
It's really, that's going to live outside this podcast. In that same piece on Tuesday, Condotta and Jude reported that after the team got close to an agreement with Jamal Adams last week on an extension, talks broke down over the structure of the contract and the amount of guaranteed money with no discussions this week. They further reported Wednesday that what the Seahawks termed their final offer was 4 years, $70 million for Adams, with $38 million guaranteed at signing. That deal would make him the highest paid safety in the NFL, but notably would not pay him more per season than Bobby Wagner. The difference is not large. Adams wants $40 million guaranteed and all the bonus money in the first 3 years of the contract. So it feels like it's we're going to get this one over the finish line, but it is a little dicey at the moment. Condotta and Jude also reported.
I'm sorry, but.
Well, he's not practicing, so it is dicey, yeah.
Jamal Adams isn't practicing?
No.
Does Jamal Adams need to practice? Do you want Jamal Adams practicing?
Yes.
There, honestly, I think the reason that I hate off-season football, the draft is fine, free agency is fine, contract talk is the most annoying talk of any talk that surrounds football. I'd rather talk about fucking Jerry Jones and the McGriddle than I'd rather talk about contracts. Because
I only know about this from Ben Baldwin's tweet. I have got yet to see it and experience it.
Oh, you should
it
get
myself.
Your HBO Max account. The
from
I'll
you?
Send you the I'll send you the login to your HBO Max account. The there is nothing more annoying than contract talk. It is just like such a ridiculous thing to play out publicly. Is a deal with Jamal Adams going to get signed? Of course. Do we need to follow the fucking saga of the deal with Jamal Adams? Absolutely not.
If
same
he's not
with
practicing
Brett.
3 weeks in a training camp, yeah, we need to know. We need to follow the saga.
Call me We're if Sega. He misses a game.
Well, he's going to miss a game on Saturday. I don't know if you're aware.
A preseason game? I'm sorry, but you do not need Jamal Adams playing in these preseason games.
Well, then why are
or
we
Dwayne
having
Brown.
Practice? Why do we have Russell Wilson out there practicing? Why have any practice if practice doesn't help you?
I fully agree with that.
This is nonsensical.
The
and I will not entertain
thing that
it.
I care about with regards to football is injuries. And really, the difference between success and failure in football comes down to injuries almost more than anything. Once you reach a certain level,
well, if you didn't know how to execute
team,
that's because of the fact that you were looking at it in a world where all the teams practice. If there was a world where one of the teams didn't practice and all the other teams didn't
that
did
team
practice,
would be fucking incredible. They would be the 2007 Patriots and they'd finish the season off if they didn't practice.
I wish that's you got it. To coach a team with this strategy so I could see how badly you would crash and burn.
Physical practice. I am telling you right, at least with important players. If your starters practice, you're doing it wrong.
Mike Garofalo of
Reps
NFL Network
are bad.
Broke the news Wednesday morning that the Seahawks were going to release defensive end Alden Smith, which happened later in the day. Smith signed with the team in April and was arrested on second-degree battery charges 2 days later. Reports from camp had been positive about Smith, making the timing a surprise. A source told my ESPN colleague Brady Henderson that Smith had violated the team's trust with an off-the-field matter.
Not the assault.
No, subsequent to that, yes.
God. Football. Good times. The off-the-field matter was not the assault. It was not wanting to practice.
No, I don't think I wouldn't say it was that.
There might have been something else. But it wasn't there a report that he didn't want to practice?
I didn't see that report. I may have missed that. I may have been eating pizza.
I think there was a day that he didn't want to practice. And they were like, you know what? You have to roll your 30-plus-year-old body out there and learn how to play football, apparently.
Oh, you're just making a joke about our argument?
No, I think he actually didn't want to practice.
I mean, he said he didn't want to feel physically ready to participate in OTAs. But I don't know about anything during training camp.
Huh. All right. Well, maybe I saw that wrong. But again, the assault wasn't the issue for the Seahawks.
It so rarely is. My ESPN colleague, Chris Mortensen.
Maybe he was the one player who wasn't vaccinated. Wow. Have we solved our witch hunt?
No, because this happened now. It didn't happen 2 weeks ago.
Oh, I'm not saying that's the reason that they didn't do it. If tomorrow the Seahawks announce that they're 100% vaccinated, we know who it was.
I'm not going to say there's a 1 in 91 chance because we have several players who have publicly announced that they are vaccinated, but it's probably a 1 in 50 chance. My ESPN colleague Chris Mortensen reported Wednesday that injured Colts quarterback Carson Wentz and guard Quentin Nelson are, quote, trending toward being available for week one when they'll host the Seahawks after both underwent foot surgeries last week. Mortensen did indicate that the Colts will have a better idea of the timetable for both players next week, 2 weeks post-op. Rookie quarterback Sam Ellinger has been splitting first-team reps with Jacob Eason for the Colts in Wentz's absence. And lastly, as I mentioned, the Seahawks open the preseason this Saturday right here in Las Vegas against the Raiders, again at the stadium I can see over here, Allegiant Wow. Stadium. So you obviously will not be watching because you're just upset that players are playing and no players should be playing because of the risk of injuries.
I think this is the only cogent perspective. I sat there and watched as George Fant got injured and ruined the Seahawks season during preseason.
I'm sure if George Fant didn't know what any of the plays were, that would have worked great.
You can know what the plays are without having contact.
That is accurate. I was not being, it was fighting a straw man there, but I do think that we know that continuity is a huge part of success on the offensive line, and you know where part of that continuity is developed?
Week one.
In practice. Well, on that note,
I'm very anti-preseason. I'm fine with the idea of preseason, players who are not going to make the team. I mean, I don't know if anybody should risk getting injured or whatever, but it can be an opportunity for those players, whether it's with the Seahawks or otherwise, to make the team. So I'm open to the idea of having outlets for opportunity, but otherwise the risk is not worth it. And also these players are playing on non-guaranteed contracts as well. You know, it's not like...
Well, if you're injured, you can't be released. So you do get your salary if you are injured in the preseason.
No, I guess.
Or in training camp.
Technically, maybe best case scenario.
Oftentimes, yes. Oftentimes, yes.
That might tune into the preseason. Can't say. I think it's going to feel really weird. I saw a tweet that there was an extraordinarily high demand for tickets at this preseason game. Just like, it's fine. It's not the people of Las Vegas, I would assume. There's just such a...
It's not as crowded as normal, but it's not like, oh, wow, there's no one here. It's somewhere in between those two, I would say. I'd say it's maybe like 85 to 90%.
Oh, okay.
Capacity.
Do you feel like the people who are... I mean, obviously, a chunk of them are local Vegas people who have tickets to this game, who are excited about it.
Did the Raiders have fans at any games last season? I don't believe they did they?
No, this is the first time with fans.
Yeah, so that's a pretty big deal.
But do you think a portion of it is, if you happen to be in Vegas for this weekend as your trip to Vegas or whatever?
Or if you're a Seahawks fan and you just planned a weekend in Vegas around this game.
Yeah, I mean, that's you're plausible. Just like, fuck it, I'll go to a football game. I'm there.
Yes.
Like, I think maybe more so Vegas more than any other team. The difference between preseason and regular season. You can gamble on preseason games as well, right?
I don't see why not. You can gamble in the NBA Summer League. I'm sure you can gamble in the NFL preseason.
I've made some money on the NBA Summer League before. Shouts to Kenneth Freed. The first time. But I would assume that there's sort of an element of like any time that the Raiders are playing in Vegas, it's going to be an event because there's this whole new group of people who are there always.
Yep.
So I don't, it'll be fascinating to watch.
Or not watch. On that note.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks.
We really peaked with every meal that you had with Nate Duncan.
I ate a lot of pizza.
Burner, burner, burner.